Welcome to the She Births Show Season 4, a place to inspire your birth, evolve your parenting, and help you live a life you love. I'm Nadine Richardson, your host and creator of the scientifically verified birth education program, She Births. I'm also a mother, yoga teacher, doula, author, and speaker. At She Births, we have supported thousands of families around the world for over 13 years with our unique program, and our vision is to make birth better for every family around the world so that everyone experiences a beautiful birth no matter what unfolds. Not only do we help people have beautiful births, but we also give them the skills and the philosophy to enjoy pregnancy and make parenting easier. As well as our world-class birth ed, taken either face-to-face or online, in our app, we also have a free pregnancy guide designed to help you feel calm, connected, and inspired as you and your baby grow. We have a doula matching service, the perfect way to ensure you and your partner are completely supported throughout the whole journey. And we have our Soul Mama Circles, which are the perfect postpartum network to help optimize your mindset and design your life in parenthood. Remember, if you like what you hear today, subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. If you're a parent, about to be one, fellow health professional, join us now for an inspirational deep dive into topics with experts around the globe. We hope you enjoy this special episode. Welcome back and thank you for your patience. At She Births, we are a small team raising our little families, and just like you, we have been riding the tsunami wave of this pandemic and needed a little break from our pods for a while. We are so excited to be back and have some amazing guests lined up for you this season, starting with a wonderful birth story from She Births' mum and dad. We recorded Deb and Ned's story just before COVID hit, and Deb and I did not want to share this story with you at the time because we knew so many mums could not have doulas and some around the world could not even have their partners in their room during birth. Overall, it's been a pretty terrible year for a lot of families and for some even traumatic, and our heart goes out to you all. We did, however, launch our doula service during COVID, and surprisingly, it has grown even amidst the restrictions. We managed to get into lots of hospitals with much bartering and petitioning, and we even had to do some WhatsApp and FaceTime support, which all went really, really well. Now, Deb and Ned's story is about teamwork. It is about that number one thing, forming the belief that you can do it, and then getting the education to support that. It's also about the second step, which is crafting the team around you that will be skilled and loving to advocate exactly as you want. And then that third step is letting go and allowing it all to happen, just to flow. In order to make your listening easy today, know that we have 3 in-depth videos that you can watch on our She Births Instagram TV or on YouTube. Their full story is also here as audio and podcast, but we've given short breaks to separate out the first one, which is topics of pregnancy and pre-labor for 20 minutes. Active labor and the actual birth is the next 40 minutes. And postpartum is the last 10 minutes. We know this is a long story, but birth is important and so are all the details. At the beginning, you'll hear Deb and I reflecting on this being the one-year milestone of Beau's first birthday. Honestly, I reckon every parent deserves a trophy on their baby's first birthday, right? So to all the mums out there, to all the birth workers out there, as we come out of this pandemic, let's keep remembering that birth really matters and how mums are cared for really makes a difference. Deb and I share insights into how birth, love, respect, and support impacts your motherhood journey and also your relationships. I hope you are just as inspired today as I am by these amazingly generous and wonderful parents. Enjoy. Here we are. We're like 1 year almost to the date since the world went into lockdown. And luckily, you know, Bo decided to arrive before the pandemic.
Thank you, Bo. Great timing.
Amazing. And you and I were talking and we've already got your birth story in depth, and we didn't want to share it with the public because we didn't want to make people feel bad.
No, we spoke so much about support people. Yeah. And it definitely didn't feel like the right time to share it.
No, that's right. And I think one of the big things at She Births is that sense of it's so critical to have a team. It's so important to craft that team. So get education, craft your team, and then you can have the best birth possible, you know? So that's why your birth was so important. So how does it feel for you, like a year on? He's just had his first birthday and now you're pregnant again. And you're doing so well to do this interview, but how does it feel for you, like 1 year on? Like, was that a milestone for you? Did you reflect on the birth? Like, how does it feel?
I think every little thing that Bo does and everything that, like, every day that goes by, there's something new. So there's milestones everywhere and we definitely celebrate that. The amount of times I call my husband, I'm like, you won't believe what he just did. But 1 year is really special. It's sort of, this age, I feel like he changes so much and every day I see so many new things that he's doing. But it definitely made me think about the birth. And I think now with my second pregnancy, I definitely have been thinking about it more in my mind. I had a conversation with a girlfriend on the phone last night who's 10 weeks off giving birth, and we were talking a lot about it. And it was really interesting to think about it again, because it's been a little while since I've given it a lot of thought.
Yeah. And what comes up, like, because birth stories change, and this is what we say to people. And what I find fascinating and I love about being a doula is that people start debriefing their birth the minute after the baby is out.
We definitely did that.
And no matter what the birth is like, you do that. But then the story will change according to who you're talking to and how busy your day was and all of that. So what are the key things that have stuck in your mind like a year on?
A year on, I definitely feel that I had such a positive experience. That is very strongly ingrained. I only look upon the birth with a positive view, which is fantastic. I feel really lucky to be in that position. And I still have that feeling of like, wow, I can't believe we did it. I can't believe it. I think some of the more difficult parts of it maybe have faded away a bit now, and it feels a little bit glossier than it probably was. But no, I've got really, really positive memories about the birth.
Yeah. And what did you feel, why is that important, do you think? What has it helped you with in other things, or why do you think it is important that people have positive births?
I think you start the relationship with your baby on an amazing note. I remember feeling elated after giving birth. I was so excited to meet Bo. I felt so empowered after the experience. And I think it was such a fantastic way to embark on my journey as a mother. It was really, I just felt genuinely so excited and positive. So I think what a better way to start a relationship and a new role, but in that mindset.
Yeah. And you're really confident as well. Like, you'd really built your confidence before labor. And then I think you had that confidence after, but you had all the people around you that you could go to, because of course Definitely. You don't know how to latch on. And you had a few little tricky bits, you know, trying to do that first latch, and you need all the experts around you at your fingertips as well, right?
Absolutely. For me, knowledge is power, and that makes me feel really comfortable. And having people like you that I could go to, having people like Cherie, who I worked with for postnatal care, that was fantastic for me, just as a wealth of knowledge. And I feel like going into the birth, having done a lot of work with you on what to expect pre and post birth as well, was a really great foundation.
Yeah, that's right. So what do you think the sort of majority of people believe is possible for birth? Do you think they're selling themselves short?
100%.
How do we change that?
I think it's about talking about it. A lot of the time when I talk to friends about my birth, most of the time the answer is, oh, I didn't even know that that happened, or really, I can't believe it. People are shocked that I didn't get the epidural. And I think there's just a lot of preconceptions about what, I mean, everyone can do it. You can definitely do it. And I think it's just about understanding the phases of birth and why that certain things happen at different times. I think that's so important to talk about because there's so much that we don't know, and I didn't know anything when we went into the process at the very beginning.
Did you have a visual of what birth should be like before?
The
movies, right?
The movies.
Like water's breaking.
Water's breaking, the very shallow, pushing, sweaty.
Yeah.
Lying down on your back.
Which we did use a little bit.
We definitely had that. Which we tried to avoid, but we couldn't.
It doesn't matter. You know, we do what we do, and you go with the flow, and you go with the experts in the room at the time to open the space of the pelvis, you know, and you did it perfectly, you know. And what about the team? Because I feel like a lot of people will think, oh, my God, Deb had her partner, a doula, her mum, the midwife, and the obstetrician. Like people might think that's a few too many. What do you feel?
Honestly, the labor from my water breaking to Beau being born was 7 hours. And from the very moment of my water breaking, we all went dark. No one could contact us. There was no one was even thinking about or looking at their phone. We were all so busy.
We were.
It's crazy. Everyone had a role. No one had free time. It was completely... everyone had a space in the room, and it really worked and contributed to the outcome. I feel like, you know, in business, we're surrounded by teams. Everyone has a role that they play to get the best result for the company. Why would this be any different? Birth is not easy. There's no doubt about that. But with a team, it's really possible to have the best result that you might hope for.
Yeah, I agree. So what would you say to anyone who's out there, any pregnant women out there, who are like, should I get a doula? Should I do birth education? What do you reckon?
Please do birth education. I loved what I learned, and it completely changed how I approach my birth with Beau in a really positive way. And support in the room changes everything. There is no way I would have had the outcome that I had if I didn't have a support team, hands down. You need people in the room who can advocate for you when you can't, and make the decisions that you would want to make that perhaps you're not quite in the frame of mind to do. It's for me personally, it couldn't have been better to have people around me and the proper education.
Yeah. When I think about your birth, the visual I have is of us piling into the elevator to go from delivery suite up to the postnatal ward with the most luggage that any warden's ever seen.
Literally, which we all used.
You used every outfit for you and Beau. But there was, and I'll always have it, and it's this image of you, and I was like, hang on, guys, let me get a photo. And I jumped out of the lift and I turned around and I took this photo, and you just like did an air punch, like with the finger pointing up, like you're just like pointing up, and we were going up in the elevator, and it was just this beautiful, triumphant, ecstatic, elated woman who had birthed her baby with love and support and really done it. Like, and it wasn't a walk in the park. No birth is, like you say, but yeah. That to me was just like the most beautiful image that I'll carry forever.
Best feeling. I just remember in that lift, I was like, yes, and Beau was there, and we were all just so happy. I couldn't have been more happy in a moment, I don't think.
No, it was beautiful. So anything else you want to share? Because people can listen to the whole birth story, or they can look into parts if they're interested in postpartum, they're interested in pre-labor, they can look to segments or listen to segments going forward. Is there anything else you want to share with people?
Well, I hope that my experience for those that are interested in listening can add to your journey or decisions or knowledge about what might work for you. Every birth is so different, but I was excited to share our experience.
Thanks, John. Thanks so much for sharing.
Thanks, Nadine.
Thank you for your time and for sharing your beautiful, amazing Beau birth story. I'm a bit excited.
We're
excited.
The beautiful birth of Beau, or however we want to
love
do it.
Love the bees.
Love the bees. Love the bees. I thought we should maybe just start with like a little sort of, I don't know, explanation about how we all ended up here, like how I'm here, like what happened, what was the beginning of your journey in pregnancy together, like what's, how did it all begin?
I took you to dinner.
That's where it all began. I think when I fell pregnant, I didn't know anything about birth, pregnancy. I sort of was going in pretty blind, and I said to Ned, I really want to do a course together. I really want to educate myself. I wanted to learn as much as I possibly could, and I think you've got time to do that. And I was really excited to kind of delve into pregnancy and then also birth as well. And I came across She Births on Instagram and started reading about the course. And I loved how it brought together lots of different schools of thought. I didn't know what kind of birth I had, and I felt it wasn't a very judgmental approach, which I liked because I didn't really know
what I wanted.
I sort of wanted to learn first and then maybe decide what we wanted to do after that. And then we reached out to you, and that's how we first connected.
So did you have any concept of what birth looked like before? Like, what did you think it was going to look like before?
The scene from 9 months.
I think it was pretty Hollywood.
The Hollywood, like, medicalized kind of experience. And stuff like that.
But Deb's approach to everything in her life is to, especially when it's something that's can be confronting or even for some people scary, is to research it. And that's her way of dealing with that uncertainty or that scare.
The prep.
And it means perfect way, right?
So
knowledge helps.
Absorbing it. Knowledge is her power to sort of, overcome that.
And you did the birth education at Dr. Morris's as well.
They have a series of three classes that covers everything from a normal birth, a birth that may have complications, breastfeeding, caring for your baby when you get home. So we did that three-part course that was 6 hours. And then we booked in to do the She Births course, like focusing on the birth and learning more about the birth.
And because a lot of people will ask, like, why would you do two courses? And why would you choose something independent outside of a hospital system? Do you have an answer for those guys?
I just wanted to learn as much as I could. And I felt that She Births was so targeted, and everything I was looking at and engaging with, I thought was really interesting, so I wanted to learn more. But then I thought that the service that they offered at Dr. Morris's was great, and I thought there was no harm in doing both. Some things we did learn twice, but then in other ways the courses are so different, we definitely learned a lot from both.
Yeah, how did you find it doing two birth education courses, Ned?
I got my purple cross for that. No, I think even if you only pick up one thing, and you see everyone's got slightly different schools of thought, and you may connect with one school of thought, or you might, you find common themes across different teachings. And for us, it was just at all getting more and more comfortable with the process we were about to go through. And then, that fear and apprehension sort of began to sort of subside the more informed we were.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. And did you find pregnancy a good journey, fun journey, hard? Like, how was it for you guys?
Pregnancy was pretty amazing. We had a really good run, I think. We were so excited to fall pregnant. I think we walked in with a very positive outlook to everything because it's something we had planned and we really wanted. And we were already mentally hoping to go on that journey, so I think we just felt super grateful as soon as we found out that I was pregnant, and then that sort of started a very positive note into the pregnancy. But I felt pretty well most of the time, and I loved learning about every stage of the pregnancy that I was in, you know, Google was definitely being overused from me. But we had a pretty great journey, I think.
Just miss sushi and things like that. Which we're now doing lots of sushi.
Exactly. Filling up on now.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
Yeah, beautiful. And so did things change when we did She Births, when we did that education? Do you think your possibility of what birth could be kind of shifted from perceptions,
Absolutely.
Expectations?
I think I always thought, I didn't want to have a birth plan the whole time. I think I was pretty open to let's just see how things go. And then after doing the course, I learned, well, we both learned so much about what actually happens in the body when you go into labor and during birth and the chemical reactions in the body and what that can do for you, what that can do for your baby. And I think it definitely did change the path that I had wanted a little bit, having learned how amazing the body is and what actually happens chemically, you know, all going well.
Yeah.
But I think that definitely made us rethink what we wanted for the birth, and then also definitely made me want to work with a doula and pull together a birth team, which is not something that I had really considered before, to get the result that we really wanted.
It gives you the best, I think it's always a proportional exercise, so it gives you the best chance of getting the result, but sometimes things don't go a certain way, and having that team, I think, gave us the best chance of getting to where we'd ultimately like to get to. But if we'd come up a little bit shorter, if we'd gone down a different path, you know, we just would have gone with that. And I think the amount of times we said to each other, oh my God, the body is amazing. I can't believe that the body does this in order for it to do that. And, you know, whether it be, you know, ligaments relaxing or, you know, your baby getting, baby getting coated in, you know, as it comes out.
Like
and, you know, oxytocin with the kissing and the massage, you know, just all these things that gave you tools to navigate what I think can be a very scary, or just it's a complete unknown. Everyone else, I think we talked about this in other cultures, they have been around birth as part of sort of, you know, that sort of tribe or tribe mentality, whatever the case may be. But for us, we were sort of coming in with a very low knowledge base, so we managed to get all these tools and obviously your help as well, Nadine. So it gave us the best chance. We got a great outcome in the end.
Because that's something we should say, that Kez, your mum, was in birth education as well.
Yes.
Because people often ask me, oh, can I have my mum along as a support? Like, maybe she could be my doula. And I'm like, well, if you want her along at the birth, she should do the birth education
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
And how cute was she? We don't have her here today, but like, she was like, oh my God, you're so lucky, Deb. I wish we had this information. Yeah. You know, it was a big processing for her.
Yeah. Mum loved learning about the birth education. I think her experience for me and my brother's birth was so different.
30 years ago.
And she was blown away by how much knowledge we now have, and also the choices that we can make. That she, it was really amazing having her a part of it, because I definitely wanted her to be there as a support during the birth.
And that's what we want, ego-free mums as well. And your mum is like the perfect person to be there. She was so generous, and we'll talk about the team. Like, let's talk about the team now, because like, what do we all do? Because everyone's like, why did you have so many people at your birth? Did you give birth at home? No, we didn't.
Yes.
You know, like, so what was everyone's role for you, do you feel, as the laboring woman or the woman going into birth?
A lot of friends and things that I spoke to when I was talking about our birth team would just laugh at me and be like, oh my gosh, Deborah, of course you have to assemble a team for everything. But I definitely feel like it's such a huge thing, birth. And if you can have a team and it's something that you want, why not go in with that support? You know, at work, I have teams to support me. I can't do everything.
No.
And I think it's the same for this with our experience. But everyone was so busy.
We couldn't have done it one man down or one woman down or one man.
It's crazy how much everyone definitely had a role. And I think Mum had almost thought, you know, once we'd had made the decision that we wanted to have a doula and we'd decided to work together.
Sit in the corner.
Yeah, Mum sort of thought, what am I going to do? You know, what am I to do? But there's so much for everyone to do. And on the day, we didn't have one second free. But, you know, Ned is so, he's such a support to me in everything. I obviously wanted Ned to be with me the whole time. And then Mum, I knew I needed her just emotional support. I needed her presence purely just to help with whatever may come on the day. And then we really wanted your experience to guide us all on what was the best thing to do in each moment and at each stage of the birth. And I think that...
Like a PT for birth.
Yeah. Birth PT. Yeah,
set up the stage.
Yeah, exactly.
F45 for birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think once we had that all in place, my fear immediately eliminated quite early on in the lead up to birth. I think the unknown was a bit, you know, I wasn't scared, but I was more apprehensive. Like, what is this going to be like? And once I knew that you were going to be there and that I had Ned and I had Mum, I felt that fear kind of melted away and we could just, I could trust that we would be okay with whatever would happen and we'd feel supported.
Yeah. And that fear also manifests itself physically within your body and probably creates, we talked about this, creates barriers to where you're trying to head. Yeah. But I think also Deborah's someone that emotionally is very, well, obviously with me as her partner and her mom and, you know, and also now the relationship that we have with you, Nadine, you know, she's someone that emotionally does rely on people and, because otherwise I think it can be a very, you can feel a bit alone. You know, you go into the hospital, you know, hopefully your partner's there, maybe your partner's not there and, you know, you meet her midwife that you've never met before and all of a sudden you go through this huge, you know, moment in your life. But if you can have, whether it be your auntie, your grandma, your cousin, whoever is your person, or a doula in this case as well, I think you've got to have those people there to lean on.
Yeah, support I think makes you feel safe, more safe.
Yeah, and that's what we really need for birth. You need to feel relaxed, comfortable, and then during the event you need to feel so safe, so held, so cared for. Remember we had that thing, she's got to look like a woman at the day spa doing a really strong yoga class.
Wonder but, if I look like I was at the day spa.
Well, that's why we had to buy new scrunchies, but you know.
The scrunchie didn't.
But you know, you just need to be cared for, and like you say, we were just passing the baton, like whatever you needed, rest of us would step back.
Yeah.
Ned was your rock. I think Ned is amazing. Like the number one rock.
Babe.
Hashtag daddy doula. Yeah. Rad dad. Yeah. The whole lot.
You were amazing.
You were like really in that water, almost laboring with her through every contraction. You were a prune.
I can't believe it when we think and I think about it. You were so much more involved than I had actually imagined. It was so amazing.
Because I didn't know where, I sort of didn't want to set myself any expectation. I'm like, okay, well, the great thing about having Nadine there is she can sort of personal train me through this, you know, touch there, rub there, hold, you know, whatever. And then just in the moment you get completely caught up in it and you sort of, you just...
You definitely rose to the occasion.
That's you just go where you're needed, right? You totally
whatever
just...
and wherever that is.
Yeah. And if that means like holding your bladder for 4 hours because you're lying in the bath or for the third time, third pair of boardies and undies going through that, you know.
I didn't even get to the boardies. It was just straight in with
the straight in with the undies. Lucky you had those. That's all right. It's good.
Not the Superman boxer shorts.
It's cool. And so I suppose with that elimination of fear, we spent a lot of time doing prep. We did our yoga before. We had more chats, doula meetings and stuff like that. Did they all help, you think, in the lead up and all that?
Absolutely. I actually was really surprised how much time we spent together in the lead up to the birth. I think when we decided to go down the doula path with you, I didn't really realise how much prep we would do in the lead up to the birth. But that was so important and really just got me in this zone. Yeah. And I think especially the last... maybe 2 weeks we were seeing each other so much and we were talking about how I was feeling and the birth and we were kind of physically prepping with the yoga and I was sort of in this full-on place that I would never have got to without spending that time. Mm. I felt really kind of ready and prepared and excited. It's sort of like I sort of shut down one part of my normal day-to-day life and went into this different zone in the lead up to
a trance almost.
For a while too.
You were. Yeah. And that was slowly like it feels so weird and new. And even though you might learn about it in education, when you're in it, it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
And you can resist it, but you just lent in. And I think I was just there as that like help. Guiding you back there. It's perfect. You've forgotten what the sacrum is. That's perfect. Yeah. Frontal lobe shutting down.
Everything was shutting down. I couldn't even I'm like, what is the sacrum? Yeah. At this moment, like, my brain isn't working.
Yeah.
I think I got infected with a bit of that as well, because I'm like, I can't remember that either. I'm going down the baby brain path.
I know. Well, I think we do. It is. It's like all smelling those pheromones. But yeah, the science tells us now your oxytocin increases and so does yours. Everyone's is going up, and that's why we do what we do, right? Just to hang out in your oxytocin bubble. No, not quite. Not quite. It's not just about that. Yeah, yeah. It's still there. So that's beautiful, all this prep. And I want to talk a lot about, you know, the labor, go through the labor story, because it's a really, really good one. Really, like all birth stories are great, but this one in particular, I'm just really glad that you were so competent to go through a long pre-labor, because some people that 0 to 4 centimeters, that long firm cervix coming up all the way to 4 centimeters, that period of time can be unmissed, or it can be a really hectic week, or it can be arrive at the hospital and get induced time, or it can be so many things, but people often get really stressed and go awry. But you just kept your calm throughout it. So tell us how it sort of happened. How did you know you were in pre-labor, do you think?
I had my baby shower on the Sunday, and we ended up having Beau on the Thursday night. And then after the baby shower...
Great timing by Beau.
Great timing, Beau.
Yeah.
And then after the baby shower, I had the best day, and it was so fun. And then I got home, and there was a lot going on in the house. We had the fire alarm going off for 2 hours, and it was this weird kind of, I was all over the shop. And then about 2 hours after being at home, I was like, I have been having what I felt to be kind of a contraction-y feeling for the last 2 hours, sort of coming and going, and my abdomen was really tightening. And I thought, that's weird. Like, wonder if this is anything. And then I sort of sat down and thought, oh, maybe it will go away. And then it just kept coming. And I thought, oh my gosh, am I going to labor? What's happening? This is so exciting. And then I started timing it. And then it sort of kept going for a number of hours, maybe 5 or 7 hours that night, and then kind of died off. And I think I was timing it and thought, am I going into labor? It was this sort of unknown, exciting place. But obviously, that was pre-labor starting, and that had continued for however many days, 4 days from that night, and it was really on and off. And I'm so glad I had you to bounce off what's going on here. Is this labor? Obviously, it wasn't labor, because I wasn't in a huge amount of pain. It was just more I needed to rest through that whole process.
Yeah.
And I went into this kind of weird zone for a number of days where I basically was in bed most of the day trying to sleep, and then I'd have bouts of these kind of waves of tightenings and sort of that period pain feeling, and it would go for maybe 7 hours, and then I'd think, wow, is this about to kick into this next phase and labor's going to start, and then it would just sort of drift away again.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a limbo place. Sort of at first I thought, for sure I'm going to go into labor today, and then I sort of started to realize, hang on, this is potentially going to go on for a long time. I need to ride it out. I need to be sleeping. I need to be eating properly, and that's advice that you gave me too.
Yeah.
And Ned was so supportive in that time as well, because he sort of let me just go away. I spent most of the day lying down and resting, and you weren't judgy of that either. We just sort of let it happen and pace it out.
Yeah. And were you getting bloody shows as well throughout that as well?
Yes, lost the mucus plug. That was a very exciting moment.
That happened over a long time as well. Yeah.
And then we had the bloody show, and it was sort of over. I think I lost my mucus plug the Thursday before he was born, so it was a week between that and Beau being born. But then during that, there was bloody show, more mucus plug.
Yeah.
It was definitely paces throughout the days that made me feel like the labour was definitely progressing or coming on, like going to be coming on soon.
And I think I came here on Sunday night. Did I come here on the Sunday night? Because remember we said like Sunday nights, it's a common night, it's close to full moon, but you are only 37 weeks.
Yes.
37 plus one day.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Like, and I think after your baby shower, that was obviously a big day emotionally, or just being on your feet with all your friends. Yeah. And so there was probably an element of tiredness as well. And, and I think what you said before about trying to sort of build up your energy stores and your sleep and getting ready for that next stage. So that was, you spent basically, because it could have happened quicker, but that 4 days you were just sort of, like you're preparing for a marathon, you were just resting up.
That's right. That's, and you were doing work. Yeah, you were building up, but you also, in those rest times, the cervix was doing its softening and ripening and thinning. It was like, do all the work as much as you can while you're sleeping or watching rom-coms or bouncing on a Fitball. Go outside if you feel it, watch that sunset, you know, have your eggplant, whatever.
Raspberry leaf tea.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think during that pre-labour time, once I realised, okay, this is pre-labour, this has been going on for a while now, I was really trying to do all of those things to relax but also kind of kick things into the next stage, because I was thinking, how long can I have this pre-labour and actually not wear myself out? Even though I was resting, like, it's still quite, even mentally, you're in this zone of like in limbo, what's going to happen next?
Yeah,
it was quite a weird few days actually, now in hindsight looking back.
Yeah, it's quite otherworldly. You're stepping between the two worlds. And so we got acupuncture here at home, two sessions with that. Did you do the osteo as well in that time? No.
I think she'd done it before.
No, so we'd done it before. But, that's another thing to say. Yeah, like, Bo was breech.
He was breech for 3 months.
Yeah. And we did birth ed. You went to the amazing David Vivian Jones, had one sacral adjustment, and he turned.
The next day.
The next
day.
Amazing. Yeah. And he stayed that way. But we still kept on doing. I think people need to really know that even once a breech baby turns, you've still got to do heaps of forward-leaning inversions off the sofa and the shaking with the Rebozo, everything to make sure that head's coming down in the easiest, just narrowest possible way for you. Yeah.
And I think with, you know, people sitting at desks all the time, and everyone's got bad posture and all the things that we should be doing better,
exactly.
If that is creating, I go to an osteo just for myself, for my own personal sort of health. And, you know, it's all just congestion in your body, and this is a time you want to be as sort of limber and as
open,
lined up and as as you can be. And I've been trying to get you to go to an osteo for years. And then Nadine gave it the blessing, and then you've never looked back.
And look at how we work. But he is quite magical.
I was amazed by that. I was really, I was starting to feel quite stressed about the baby being breech, and it was kind of, I was kept thinking about it, and it sort of,
that was definitely a highlight. You felt like you'd
won. Then going to have that realignment, and then the next OB appointment with Dr. Morris, and then the baby had not only turned but fully engaged after. And that was quite, I think that was maybe 31 weeks or 30
the
weeks.
Only
it was quite early.
You couldn't get good photos of him anymore.
Yeah, we couldn't see him anymore.
That's so
on
cute.
The scans.
That's so cute. So you got into the pre-labour zone. We're in the limbo with, like you say, conserving energy, trying to kick it off. And then you happened to have a few kind of anomalies in your labour. Things that I told you probably weren't going to happen actually happened. That happened in the smallest percentage of people. Yeah. Firstly, you came early. Remember, we said 41 plus 3 or 5 days is the average due date. Secondly, after your second acupuncture, the waters popped right here on the sofa.
It was like a balloon.
The balloon just burst. Yeah. So what happened then? How did you feel? What was going on then?
I think I was so surprised that Bo came early, because everyone that I'd spoken to, everything that I'd read, first time mums,
80%
you know, it's, you will go over. So when the pre-labour was happening, I'm thinking, are we going to be doing this? You know, I was maybe 38, 37 weeks even when the pre-labour started. It's like, are we going to be doing this for the next month? Like, how long can this go on for? But then once that had sort of all started to happen, and then we got the acupuncture and then my waters broke. I was like, oh my goodness, it's on. It was like a balloon had popped in my belly. That's what it felt like. And I was just so excited. I couldn't believe it. And also I wasn't expecting my waters to break.
No.
We'd have, you know, from everything that we'd learned through the course with you,
it was going to happen
way later. The obstetrician Dr. Morris had said, oh look, it's quite unlikely, but
10% chance.
There's maybe a 10% chance of your waters breaking. Yeah. But they did.
That's right.
Yeah,
I love it.
And now for a quick break. At She Births, the mother is at the centre of everything we do. We believe that birth and matrescence is a sacred rite of passage, and we believe that the journey is unique for everyone. Wherever you are in your journey, She Births is here to support you. Starting with our free pregnancy guide, which offers you 6 months of weekly support. You will receive nourishment for body, mind, and soul via your inbox and engage with content within our free app. Enjoy yoga videos, recipes, birth affirmations, course discounts, and so much more to help you feel calm, connected, and inspired for birth. Sign up online to our free pregnancy guide on our website, shebirths.com. And download our free app today in any app store.
And so when that happened, did you feel Beau move down? Did you feel contractions happen straight after?
I was having pre-labor that day. I'd actually been, I went into work very briefly. Then I'd gotten my nails done. And that whole time I was like, okay, I'm having these light tightenings, but I think I'd been so used to it from the days. I was sort of like, okay, I'm going to start to do things now because I feel I just need to
do something.
I was sort of felt like this waiting game. I was like, I need to do something.
Yeah.
Then I had gotten home. I'd like had some lunch and I sat down and I had like quite a strong tightening. It's not a contraction, but like I could see my stomach going into this square and then I felt like everything was wrapping together. And it's like that stronger tightening just popped.
It just popped.
And then my waters broke. And I had read a lot of things online being like, oh, you know, it can be a trickle or you may not really realize, but this was, you couldn't miss it. It was a gush.
A gush, yeah. A gush.
And I think that's when you guys called me. And I'm like, ah, oh my God, quick, rush.
I was like, Mum needs to come from Barrel, called Mum, called Ned. Ned was at a meeting, called you.
She'd only just gotten to Barrel, you'd sent her.
Poor Mum had just gotten home and then had to turn straight back.
We knew that was going to happen.
We did laugh
about that the night before, like knowing your mum's luck, the second she sits down for a cup of tea in Barrel, she'll be...
And we were scheduled to do yoga anyway,
I think you were about to come over in 10 minutes.
Anyway, but I was like,
I'm making sure, double check, I've got everything ready for the birth. And it was rightly so because you'd had a good pre-labour. You were already like 1 centimetre or something dilated.
It was 1 centimetre at my last OB appointment.
Yeah.
And so with waters gone, things can move a lot quicker, which is kind of what happened, right? So that's right. I met you. You guys packed up, took about half an hour or so and then drove over to the Marta. So that's like a 30-minute drive then?
Because 10 days early, we hadn't done the car pack yet. So
we had everything
ready, but not physically in the car.
Yeah.
Took longer than we thought.
Yeah.
Which was fine. There wasn't a panic. Yeah. There wasn't a rush.
I was just pumped.
It was just traffic.
I just felt so excited at that point.
Thursday night shopping wasn't our friend.
Yes, in the end.
No, the bridge.
And school's back. Yeah. Anyway, so you guys got over there, I saw you, and I could see that contractions were genuine. It was not Braxton Hicks. We were now in a rhythm, and you were just comfortable, like, standing up and rocking your hips and chatting. Chatting.
Yeah, we could still talk at this point. Yeah. I was feeling really excited.
What did they say to you when we first walked into the hospital?
Oh, Lucy, the midwife who was there for our birth, said that she's like, I've never had such a chipper phone call. When I called her and said, my waters are broken. Should I come into the hospital? It's just so exciting. She was like, are you okay? But yeah, we went in and got everything checked, which is what my OB had wanted us to do if my waters broke. And yeah, we were chatting. Like, I felt pretty good at this point.
Yep.
I was like, this is great. Everything's
you
fine.
Just needed to stand up and move your legs from what I remember.
Yes.
Wasn't comfortable to sit down in the chair and do the heart rate monitor. Mm. And it was definitely amniotic fluid, so we just did that for like 30 minutes.
One.
Yeah, the Bluetooth one, so you could move around exactly. And yeah, you were cool.
Yeah.
Chat, all good.
Early days.
But I could see they were starting to get stronger and they were still building, which is an interesting thing. Even in an unfamiliar environment, under 4 centimetres, that can often interrupt labour. Mm. But yours was continually progressing. It was building. So I knew we were going to have a trip across and back, but not so soon, actually. So anyway, we came back, settled into the house. What happened then? How was the car ride then coming back?
I don't remember being... Yeah. Funnily enough, the car ride back, I don't remember very much.
Yeah.
I think I was okay. I remember calling Mum and saying, I don't need you to come over yet. I'm feeling fine. I'll like let you know when I need you, which was actually 10 minutes after I got home.
That's right.
She was just getting into Sydney from Barrow.
Yeah, so I think the car ride I was feeling pretty good and I felt the contractions were pretty manageable at that point. And I was excited that we could come home because I wasn't sure if we were going to have to stay at the hospital, which I didn't want to do. I was wanting to come and labour at home and do a lot of the things that we had spoken about.
Yeah.
And we didn't know the timing on that.
And
that
I thought we had a really long
way to go.
Time ahead of us. And I think even at the hospital, they said come back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. It was maybe 3:30 p.m. So I think we thought we were in for quite a long night.
Yeah.
So
although we did say we'll probably see you later tonight. Yeah. We're going to see. We will.
With your experience, we were untrue.
Yeah. Gone. Like anything can happen.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. So then we came home. Where were you comfortable? What did you want to do?
Things started amping up pretty much as soon as we got home. I think I went straight to the shower and I was... Did I go straight to the shower?
You're just like swaying and leaning.
Moving around.
That's right. We did Fitball. We did just... shower time, just sort of standing there, leaning.
We were worried about his head and if it was in the right position because he'd been lying on the right.
Yeah.
And so I tried to get you kneeling off the sofa, which wasn't very successful.
Yeah, that didn't work.
But however, he kept coming. Yeah. So maybe he was on the left, something like that.
I feel like I remember just moving around the house. I was sort of, there were different stations on the couch, leaning against the wall. I wanted to like,
playlist going.
Doing those pressure
points. Ned was doing the acupressure.
That's right.
Yeah. And then you went to the shower. You did have a nice little shower and that felt good. I think it was starting to amp up and you wanted Ned in there to lean on too.
Yes. Yeah. That kind of, I was already starting to feel that kind of, how do I get comfortable?
Yes.
I don't quite know where to go to kind of feel comfortable. And so we were trying a lot of different
heat pack on the lower back. We had a lot of that. That seemed to be something that was sort of...
That was like a first port of call, actually, in the hospital, wasn't it? The heat pack tied on with the Rebozo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great, actually, because I was feeling a lot of pressure in my back the whole labour, for sure.
Yeah.
So that heat pack was amazing.
Yeah.
Especially with the Rebozo, like, just having it tied on and no one had to hold it there and I could still move around. That was great.
It was good.
Yeah.
So then I think you found your happy spot was, like, left lateral, lying on your left side on the sofa, wasn't it? Semi-reclining.
Yeah. And I had thought, I want to be moving around. I want to let gravity do its thing and help the baby down and be on the Fitball and all of that. That was really my kind of thought process going into the labor, and I just needed to lie down on my side. It was like the only place I could get.
I thought you'd be that way. Well, for someone that loves music and loves dancing and does spin class, I thought her way of dealing with this will be movement, music, you know, just sort of. And in the end, it was almost like the recovery position, just sort of in the
lying in the fetal position, seriously. But we had our music on. Bossy was with me. It was really cute. Bossy's our dog. Yeah, she was like part of it at this point, and it was still felt very calm at home
and fun, right?
Yeah.
You were still able to chat. We'd have a few laughs in between. We tried the TENS machine, which was too strong for you. You didn't like it. Didn't like it.
I thought I would like it when we kind of tried it before.
Yeah.
But it was almost like there was too much stimulation. Yeah. I just wanted to focus on the contraction and not that.
And breathing. I think breathing was something that you kept going, well, throughout your whole birth was a challenge, but also something that you found focusing on breathing was something that I think really helped you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the contractions, I haven't looked back on the cool app, whatever it's called.
Oh, Freya.
Freya, the timing app. When we remembered to press that button. But they were kind of differing in their intensity. They were mostly regular, but then there were some freaky spaces as well. So I was like, I couldn't quite tell if you were under 4 or over 4. Mm-hmm. But then they were very intense. Yeah. I could see the intensity really building.
They definitely felt, I felt they were getting so intense when we were here at home. It sort of had really moved quickly. Like from my point of view, I thought this is really amping up faster than I had thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
But coming back to the birth team, your mum had been assigned app manager.
Yeah, mum was on the app. We were trying to time everything. But at that point I was thinking, this feels like it's further along than being at home, and I was starting to get a little bit unsure about where we were at.
Yeah,
so that's right. I think it was 90 minutes on average. Was it just 90 minutes?
I think we were at home for night. It wasn't very long.
Sort of 4 by memory. I think like 4:30 till 6, and then we started to get back in the car. Yeah. Sort of by the time we.
I think I was lying here. I was like, we have to go, because the thought of actually being in the car was scaring me.
Yeah.
I was the contractions were really intense, and I couldn't sit up. And I'm thinking, how am I going to go half an hour to the hospital in the car?
Yeah.
That's where you came. Ned the bedmaker.
So we basically ran the sort of business class flatbed. set up, which was, what was it? It was the two yoga mats, 4 towels,
car seat,
even in the sort of little thing like that, we put a rounded towel there to sort of flatten out the,
Gosh, I didn't fully appreciate
there was
the
no,
setup because I was,
there was no in-flight movie, there was no champagne,
there was the playlist
going. Was the playlist on in the car? I don't recall. Yeah, we love that playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were some very interested bystanders in sort of cars next to us.
It was pretty vocal at this point.
Yeah, you were totally beautiful and silent in between, and then starting to really make sound to manage sensation. And you were just calming Deb with your hand while you were driving and just breaking everything down, just telling her where we were going and how much longer.
Almost
and
there.
Yeah, just once this bottleneck's through, we're going to be, closer and closer.
In a monologue, why doesn't Sydney have sort of shoulders that I can drive down?
And I think it's really important, again, to come back to the team, because we're in the car park and you said, no, Nadine's got to come in the car. So I couldn't bring my car with all my stuff. And so we couldn't fit it in your car as your stuff.
That's right. We had to take all these, couple of bags and a box out of.
Mum was left with all the birth kit pretty much to meet us at the hospital.
Yeah.
And because you weren't going to come in the car. And then all of a sudden I had this overwhelming fear that things were moving really quickly.
No.
Like what happens if this, I was freaking out. And then I thought, okay, no, I need you to come in the car because Ned obviously needs to focus on driving.
But once again, if we'd had one less person in our team then, the wheels would have fallen. You would have got there without a whole lot of stuff you needed or whatever the case
was. The stuff for her to be comfortable and stuff like that. So, getting there was exciting.
That was an intense trip.
It was intense.
It was a lot of traffic, and I just remember thinking, when will this end? This car ride will never end.
I remember just above Circular Quay, there was someone in a ute. And he had his young son or daughter in the back seat.
Looking in.
They were sort of looking across.
Oh my God.
I think I gave a little wave.
Yeah, there was so much traffic, and I actually remember seeing people looking in because it was pretty intense.
Oh my gosh.
I was holding your hand and holding the handrail and basically breaking your hand. You must have been covered in bruises.
No. It's all good.
Yeah.
So then we got there, and luckily your mum arrived pretty soon after with the big doula basket and everything like that. Got up into the room, met the midwife, who seemed great as well, who we'd met before. And yeah, tell the story from there.
So I think from
a little Bo.
Oh, Bo's waking up.
Star of the show is that's right. Announcing his arrival.
Yeah, we can get him.
Should we go get him?
Yeah.
Can we get him?
Yeah. Okay. He wants to be here for this part of the story. Yeah. This is where he really feels like his presence was coming close. Oh, little man.
Oh, so cute.
Little man. Oh, Houdini got his hands out.
He's a little
That's busy. What's happened.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi. You got your hands out. That's what's happened.
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about
it. That's what happened. That's what happened. Hi.
Doesn't it make you want to have like five more?
I know. Everyone's asking us. I'm like, oh, we want 100.
And then nothing else happened between then and that.
Yeah. Ta-da. Here we are.
Good. We just wanted to be a part of the little Christian.
Yeah. So I think I had thought at this point that I was close to having the baby. Like, part of me was scared I was going to have the baby in the car.
Yeah.
It was so, like, I felt the
and
sensations.
A lot of pressure, right?
So much pressure in my back. I couldn't even stand up properly.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure, I felt I could not get comfortable.
Yeah.
Hello. And so I had thought I think I said 7 centimeters, or one of us had said that. Yeah. And then when we got to the hospital and we got examined, I was 3 centimeters, and I was very thin. But so for me, hearing that 3, I was like,
deflated.
Wow, like, this is really intense. I thought I would be far, far further along than this, and I was pretty disheartened, which you had actually warned me about. But I guess you had warned me that the exams can not necessarily correlate to where you're at in the labor process, and it doesn't have to be as linear as it seems.
Yeah.
But I think that was pretty disheartening. 3 centimeters, which is not even established labor, and I'm thinking I am definitely in labor. Yes. And have been. So yeah, that was hello baby.
So that was like 6:30.
It's almost 7 o'clock, I think. Yeah.
Wow, almost 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we tried a few different positions to get comfortable, and then we
that was hard. It wasn't easy.
I was not
comfortable
again, on your
anywhere.
The side seemed to be the best
option.
But then we tried the bar.
Bath was your happy place.
The bath. So I think maybe we were trying to get comfortable for about half an hour, and then they examined me again. And in that half an hour, we'd gone from 3 to 5 centimeters, and they were like, okay, you can get in the bath. And we're all amazing.
That felt better. That was sort of okay.
Yes, I was like, this is good. There's some progress, and that seems quite quick. So, okay. And then basically, I feel as though as soon as I got in the bath, like everything was better. Like, it was very intense, and it was really amping up. But Ned was so amazing. He got, because I was in the bath, but I couldn't sort of sit up or hold myself up. Hi, baby. Ned actually got underneath me so that then I wasn't sort of submerged in the water. And that was just the best. I think I felt so safe there.
Do you want us to pause so that we can...
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Meantime.
All right, so we're continuing. We've had a feed and a change nappy break, have we?
Yep.
And everything like that. And now we've got little Bo here with Rad Dad.
Rad Dad.
Yeah.
And I think let's carry on with the birth, because we were talking about you found your happy place in the bath, lying back. So Ned was really like lying back, holding you up. Then you could sort of do your left lateral. And it is so much in labor.
Weightlessness, I think, not feeling pressure down one side.
I think the pressure in my back and that feeling of standing and sitting was so uncomfortable. Yeah. The bath just kind of created this, a weightless feeling. It was so good.
And that's where it's just so important to have options available. Like, you used a lot of your active birthing in the beginning, and you actually used them in pregnancy to get comfortable and help the baby descend and go through things.
but then you have to have options. And so, yeah, you guys were super cute just lying back in there, and then myself and Kerry were either side, and you were in your happy place, but you were also freaking out a little bit as well, because they were intense. They were big, big contractions. So what was going on, like, inside you?
Oh, my inner monologue at the point of the bath was just wild. Nothing I could have ever imagined. It was the, I cannot do this. It can't keep going. How is this actually happening? Yeah. I can't believe how full on this is. I think the bath for me, whilst I was the most comfortable, the most comfortable I was in the whole labour probably. And I felt, you know, we had music and dim light and I had everyone there and it was very supported, but it was, my mind was on fire. I think that's the only way to describe it. I was on fire inside.
Yeah.
It was so full on in my head at this point.
And this is the classic thing of, like, even having little snippets of watching the video of you in labour.
Yes.
Because you're like, that didn't feel like what it looks like, right?
So the parts of labour that you were filming, I watched them that night.
Oh my gosh.
When it was so fresh, I couldn't sleep. I was so hyped. And then I was watching it and I thought, that just looks so, the video looked so different to how it felt in my mind.
Yeah.
I was blown away by the difference between the actual scenario and what it felt like was happening for me. It was completely different.
Yeah.
Like, totally different.
Yeah.
We still had some funny times in the bath. I remember once between a contraction, a song came on your playlist, Nadine, and I was like, oh, I love this song. And I didn't expect Deborah to react. I just thought maybe I was more talking to Nadine and your mum, and you're like, me too.
It's classic. And we had to do quite a bit of work. I felt like it was really important, you, me and Kez all being on the same page. And I felt like the baton kept getting handed around between us, and the midwife too. Because the contractions were so big, he was moving down really fast.
Quite
so in my mind, you were 3 centimetres, but you were actually closer to 7 on a sort of an emotional scale.
Yeah.
It was wild. Like, they were very fast, very big contractions. And probably a lot more painful, and I don't like to use that word, but they were a lot more painful than
more
if...
More pressure,
intensity, that's right, than if you had been classically at 3 centimetres.
Yeah.
So what was happening, water's gone, the cushion between his head and the cervix was gone. And so he was just going to move down real fast, and they were really big contractions.
I didn't even realise that till we talked about that afterwards.
Yeah,
it felt like I could feel him moving in the bath, and it was so strong.
Yeah,
and it was just like, it was so strong, and I just remember thinking, I just can't believe this feeling.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
It was. So what were you saying to us?
Oh, so I wanted every drug possible at this point. I just needed it to be over at this point. I was like, get me the epidural, get me everything, please just make it stop. That's what I was feeling at this point.
Yeah.
I think I just felt I could not go on at this level.
Yeah.
And I felt like we had a long way to go, and I just knew I was not going to be able to maintain that for much longer.
That intensity. That's right. And
and it's hard watching someone you love go through. Like, that's the bit that I found the hardest out of the whole thing was being, well, powerless to a certain extent. But obviously, I think, as we talked about before, having tools to help you through the process made me feel better, because that feeling of helplessness and watching your partner in distress, I was better able to deal with, and hopefully therefore help Deborah because we had things we could do, and I think that made sort of
what it was going to look like and feel like, and you knew that just being there was an amazing support as well, that reassurance that you weren't there to do nothing, just your calmness.
Ned was so, he really helped me get into a great mental place. I think he was sort of bringing me back from that fiery, crazy zone I can't do this. Give me everything to make this stop. It just needs to stop. Yeah. And then Ned was sort of pulling me into this calmer place and sort of talking me through being at the beach or trying to take me away from where we were. And whilst that helps to a point, like, it really did kind of bring me back from that crazy fire zone.
That's right.
So that passing the baton of us and as a team, so when you said, I want the epidural, I can't do this, that was hard for us, right?
Totally. And we knew that I was going to ask for it.
Deborah did say, I will ask for it three times. Yeah. It's sort of like a religious scripture. You will deny me three times.
Classic. Yeah. And you're totally entitled to have the epidural. And we said that there's nothing wrong with the epidural, but it did take some convincing, and I think from all of us, to say, look, it's that cervix is probably going to go really, really fast. And it did, which was great. But it was because you also found your happy place, you relaxed, you let go. And so you did ask quite a few times for an epidural. And you had to answer back to her. Yeah. Yeah. You were the one that was really the rock.
Because
I had said to you that it's something I didn't really want. And I knew that I was going to ask for it because I knew that I would.
But I think you also, each woman, and it probably differs woman to woman, has a certain amount of energy that they can expel to go through a pregnancy. And that, you know, once again, that's why I think your pre-labor, where you were resting and eating and doing all those things, gave you the reserves. But if you reach the point where you're running out of energy, well then...
If it had been a longer process, I'm sure that's a path that we would have gone down, because it was. I was really... Yeah. There was only so much, so many more hours of that I think I could have managed. It was just so intense. But I think that's where the team came into play so well, because I knew that I would probably ask for it in the throes of that time. Yeah. And you guys knew what was okay and what was not okay in terms of what I wanted and what was distress and what was labor, and helped make the decision, which I was so happy with the result.
Yeah.
But that's where having the team, like, if I was there solo, I would never have gotten that result.
No,
I think that we talked about that very soon after the birth as well. Like, imagine turning up and walking into this hospital, which, you know, has a very high medical assistance rate, you know, and you hadn't prepared and your partner hadn't prepared and you hadn't done any independent education. It would be, give me that epidural now, like straight away. I have no idea where we are, but like there's no way we're going to get through this.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, you know, more people ask for them, therefore the more people get offered them. And, you know, it becomes the sort of, you know, the path more travelled.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. It was just more what I had wanted in our birth preferences when we had sort of spoken.
And there are risk factors, you know, like there are risk factors to having the epidural that you have to weigh up. And it's not an easy process to have an epidural at all. So they're gold in certain places. But, you know, as it happened, you were dilated beautifully. So you were 5 centimetres when you got in the bath. That was like, then what time was that?
I think we got into the bath about 7:30, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And I think we were in there for just over an hour, and you went from 5 to 9. And when we were 9...
Yeah, 9 with just a little anterior lip, so almost 10. Yeah.
And that was like, hallelujah.
Hearing that 9 and then with the lip.
And then Lucy said, we need to get you out of this bath.
That the relief in that moment, wow.
Yeah, and you were using a lot of sound, but Lucy was also really good at bringing you back to. She played bad cop.
Yeah, totally.
She did pretty good.
She was amazing.
She really like snapped me back.
Yeah,
because I was getting, you know, hyperventilating and struggling to come back to my breath.
So the gas.
Oh, that really helped. You know
we
what?
We didn't even get a chance to have any, which was a bummer.
I was worried because I've never had gas before, so I was worried if I did have a swig that I could have a bad reaction. Next thing you know, I'm in the corner. we don't need to add another patient to this scenario.
I think what the gas actually did for me was make me breathe.
Yes.
Because I was shallow breathing, and I know that I was, but I couldn't stop. Like, I couldn't get my breath there. I was really struggling. And then having to breathe in that gas to hear the rattling or whatever it was made me take a deep enough breath that I was actually properly breathing.
Yeah,
so exactly worked twofold.
Yeah, definitely. That really, really, it really helped me to calm down because I was getting to a point of being.
Yeah, there were big surges coming in fast.
And then you're sort of, you're past the point of no return where even if you do want to put
you.
I pulled aside Lucy, the midwife, and said, okay, that was really intense. I'm not sure how much more of that she can take. Talk me through options now. And she goes, oh, we're past that point. We're having this baby now. And I think that was at 9 o'clock and, you know, less than an hour, well, we'll go through that, but less than an hour later, he was born. Yeah. So, and we kept hearing half an hour for the doctor to get here, 25 minutes for the epidural to kick in. So there's always a delay in from the moment you make that call to.
I think as soon as I knew I was at that nearly fully dilated point, I felt, okay, I can do this.
So you were empowered.
So the monologue changed.
Totally changed. Yeah. It was from I cannot do this to yes, I can do this, we're nearly there. And I felt totally different.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how that dilation point can mentally mess with you because I think I'd gone from being not even in labour when I felt but like I was 100% in labour. And then that made me scared about how long that intense stage would last.
Yeah, that's right. And I think
the team is what bolsters your confidence during those tough times. And then we follow your lead at other times, you know, and we make suggestions at other times. So it's a dance.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're reminding you to wee and then like giving you a drink and making sure the gas was there, making sure you're comfortable, giving you a hip squeeze. I think you were getting into hip squeeze and we were doing a bit of acupressure as well in the bath, the endorphin one.
I actually can't remember that.
Which is so weird.
You
were going deeper and deeper, further and further into the zone.
But water was a big one. Like, you guys definitely gave me so much water. That was amazing. And there's no way I could have reached and gotten water for myself. Like, it was at that point, like, I would just never. It's such a small thing, but I would never have been able to do it in that time.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The one thing we do need to work on is the team, not necessarily for you, is lip reading. Because trying to communicate to sort of Nadine or to your mum, or sort of like, are we going to do this? You know, like, and then she's like, what are you doing? So that's the one thing.
If I could have heard you anyway.
We'll go to a little course or something in between babies.
No,
I thought you weren't hearing us.
I did hear.
I did hear some of the contractions.
Yeah.
Remember I said she was having this big sleep and she was really relaxing. And I was like, oh my God, the hormones are really building. The bliss is like, I was watching. And I said to you, next one's going to be really big. Like, tried to do it quietly.
I heard, though, and I was like, it's coming. I was like, oh, my gosh. And it
was
huge. Like,
it was a
really big one. That's it. Because I feel as though I felt like the contractions were just one. I didn't feel like I was getting huge breaks.
No.
But then there was a couple where I was like, oh, I'm having a real break here. And then next minute,
It was wild.
Yeah.
So anyway, in the bath, then we got out of the bath.
After we knew we were at that
night. Lots of little sort of tea towel shaped towels to dry you down, the hospital towels. Chuck them on the floor, dry down Ned.
Then one towel for me.
Yeah. Sorry, quick, go get more towels. There's always a shortage of towels in the hospital. So yeah, that's what doulas are for, to go and get more towels. What happened then? What did we do then?
So then Dr. Morris, the obstetrician, had been called. So he was on his way and we were trying to get comfortable for the next stage. And that was tough. I sort of think I mentally was like, I've made it through this dilation process. I'm so happy that we're close to the end, but then the pressure in my back, I was very tired at this point.
Yeah.
And I think it was really hard to find a position that I could hold. It wasn't that it was comfortable or not comfortable. I sort of couldn't be in any.
I think we tried four or five.
We tried everything.
Yeah, we tried standing, leaning onto the bed. We tried on your knees, leaning onto the bed head. Mm-hmm. Pillows, but it was just the legs couldn't hold.
Then we went back to that side position again.
In hindsight, maybe I need to do, like, you know, for a next birth, I need to do more leg strength. I don't know, because I remember my legs were just
jelly.
I couldn't even stand.
I think that's just the pelvis opening for some women. They just don't have the strength at all to stand. I think it's about, like, doing more squats before.
Lactic acid, it's all those things.
It's just all the hormones and everything kind of flooding through as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just the way it rolls sometimes.
And I felt, I don't know how long we were trying to get into a position, but it felt like a while. I don't know how long it was.
I think it was sort of half an hour or something, maybe. 20 minutes.
Yeah, maybe 20 minutes.
But that's a long time.
It was, sort of, it was, the pressure was, the pressure was full on at that point.
Yeah.
For sure. But it was a different feeling to how it had been in the bath. Like, I feel as though what I was experiencing was really different. And I don't know if it's because mentally I'd clicked into a different place and I wasn't sort of burning as much as I was during the...
And then strangely enough, the position that you found most easy and that you ultimately gave birth in was actually on your back.
Yeah, which I hadn't wanted to.
Everything else that we'd sort of, you know, or we'd read and you're looking at the anatomy of the body says, you know, probably standing up or leaning over, but for some reason maybe that's
just the only way I could.
You did a lot of pushing on your left side again, left lateral
with the pillow in between,
and then holding that knee, so that worked because that brought you into a squat and that really helped him come down and just coming around that lip of the pubic bone. Yeah, knees right into the armpits on the back seemed to work.
Yeah.
And Stephen was there for most of second stage as well and guiding and directing a lot of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you worked really hard.
The amount of force required for pushing was something I was not really... I hadn't really understood how much force...
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how much force went into it. Even in the moment, I was like, I can't believe how much strength is required for this. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. Of course it is, but I just remember thinking it was just so full on.
Yeah.
And I was trying to breathe, but actually I needed to hold my breath. And it sort of was just a very different, very different way of being to, you know, the contractions that I was having before.
Yeah. So the contractions in the bath, describe those. Cause you said you felt them pushing him down.
Yeah. In the bath, I honestly felt like my contractions were pushing the baby out.
Yeah, you,
like,
weren't really having to push, do the force.
No, I felt, I was like, is this the baby coming out? That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to push almost that urge. Whereas at the pushing phase, I didn't really have that as much. I had to be guided by Dr. Morris on the pushing. It wasn't the I didn't have that urge at that point. It was actually much earlier.
But I do wonder if you'd stayed in the bath longer.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe you wouldn't have been directed so much with the pushing.
Maybe.
Maybe if that was your super happy place and just sometimes that changing and more people and just, it just changes it maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. She maybe could have stayed in that transient sort of thing. Because it is a more, well, it's a less, you know, when you're on your back with everyone around you and the obstetrician down, you know, that's obviously a very different environment to what you were in the bath.
Yeah.
And so maybe, you know, and he does catch babies in the bath, in water, but not at the MARTA.
Yeah. So that's RPA. Have done,
yeah, for sure. Anyway.
In the bath, I honestly could feel him being pushed out by the contractions without me doing a push. It was and I could really feel that, where it was very different to when we were actually when I was actually pushing to give birth to him at the end.
But it worked, right?
It worked.
Ultimately it worked. So it was about what, 45 minutes do you think, pushing? Was it an hour?
I think it was nearly
almost
an hour.
Yeah.
9:45 he was born.
Yep. 9:45, little Pisces.
Crazy.
Cute.
Aquarius.
Oh, he's little Aquarius. Yeah. Sorry, don't know my astrology very well.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Then he was here.
And do you remember in that pushing, like, towards the end, how was it for you watching her push?
Well, by then you're sort of getting so close. It's like light at the end of the... I think we even said that a few times. Yeah. Light at the end of the tunnel. And I wasn't sure whether or not I'd just be up there holding, you know, looking at her in the eyes, saying, you're doing great, and sort of leaving the rest, and, you know, holding... But in the end, it just, I don't know, just one of my friends said to me, I said, oh, where did you? He goes, you'll stand where you stand.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? He goes, just trust me, you'll stand where you stand. And in the end, it ended up being sort of, you know, halfway along, sort of helping the OB when, you know, he sort of said, give me a hand, hold this leg or do this or, you know, and, or holding Deborah's hand or... And we just sort of moved around a bit, didn't we?
But you were so encouraging, actually, the whole time. I feel like after every contraction, I think you were like, you're doing such a great job. Like, you were so... There was so much like positivity coming from you that really helped to drive me. Yeah, it really did. Like I was like, yes, okay, we've done one more. Like your positivity throughout the whole birth, definitely, I was definitely absorbing that the whole time. It was amazing. It really made a difference for me, for sure. Totally. And mum as well, like, and you, the whole team, like, it was great.
And then when you sort of, Dr. Morris said, you know, here's your baby's head, and you know, you just see the top of, and then you know, saying, and then I said something like, he's got lots of dark hair.
I know, you're like, I can see his head. Oh my god.
And I think they're just those little things that you know, whether it's adrenaline or more oxytocin or whatever just helps you on that.
The pushing, I actually thought it was less painful the final stage with pushing than the actual labour. And I'm amazed by that because to me that would 100% be, my expectation was that that would be the most painful part, but it really wasn't for me, which was weird.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting
It's just different for everyone. I think by the time you got there, your endorphins had finally peaked out, like, and they were there. And it was just such a quick journey to get there. They were catching up, trying to catch up with the next big contraction to go so quickly from like 1 to 2 to 10 in what I think it was probably 6 hours or something, totally. Something like that, total.
Which is so much faster than I...
Yeah, we thought it was going to be, and most people's are...
4 to 10 in sort of 3 hours or less.
Yeah,
exactly. So by the time we'd gone back to the hospital the second time.
Exactly. So yeah, you weren't in a huge amount of discomfort. You were just working really, really hard with the energy of them. And you put your fingers down to feel his head, didn't you, at one point?
Totally.
Was that weird?
It was weird, but it kind of helped me. I was like, okay, we're so close. Because I did sort of feel like nothing's happening, like with all the big pushes. I was like, well, like I'm doing all of this and I feel like we're not really getting anywhere. Yeah. It was at that point. And then I think when I could feel his head, I was like, oh, we are so close. He's right there.
And you could see when you did a really good push, it was sort of three steps forward and then only two back.
Yeah.
But when you sort of, you know, if you lost your breath or you let the, and couldn't recapture, it was sort of two steps forward, two steps back. You sort of, so... And I think that Dr. Morris was excellent with sort of, you know,
managing
when to push, when not to.
Yeah.
And one of my favourites bit is he would always say a little more when it came to the pushing. Yeah. And obviously through that experience, there'd been an element of subliminal messaging because I then found sort of 2 days later, Deborah was feeding Bo. And I leaned over and she's like, a little more, a little more, a little more.
I'm like, mad that I was absorbing.
I'm like, you do realise where you got that from. And she goes, what? And I said, from Dr. Mo. And she goes, oh, really? I didn't even notice.
So funny.
So it's quite funny.
So cute. Yeah.
No, it was amazing. And then actually when he came out, like I was pushing and then his head had come out and then we sort of just breathed and stopped pushing and then the rest of the body came out and it was just the most amazing moment ever. And he was just finally there. It was just so cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you lent...
I picked him up.
That's right, you did. He had the cord around his neck, didn't he?
Yeah.
Very swift little move off like that from Dr. Morris.
Yeah.
And then I think he just sort of held Bo just there and then said, lean down.
Yeah, do you want to pick him up? And it was just amazing. It was just incredible. And I think it's like all that and then instantly... It's all over. Like all of the crazy inner monologue's gone, the pain's gone. It's just done. Like it's the wildest thing. Yeah. And then it's just pure blissful happiness. Yeah. And it's just like over.
Yeah. It's so cool, right?
It's so amazing. And that's something when I'd been watching the birth videos in the She Birth course, and then I'd seen some on Instagram and things like that, and I'd always just been amazed by watching, you know, the intensity followed by the women being absolutely fine. Like as soon as the baby is out, and that's actually what happened. And it was just yeah, yeah, amazing.
So cool.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And then we had little...
Oh, the little man.
And he was a good size. He was a good size. Yeah. He was smaller than what we were told he was going to be, yeah.
He was also a little bit early. We were sort of thinking about this the other day. If he'd gone full term, he probably would have been about 3.5 kilos, and he was just under 3.2. So.
Yeah, that's right.
He was a little man.
Yeah, that's right. And he was tired too. He was sleeping.
Took him a little bit of time to have his first sort of as well.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't realise.
We were blissfully unaware of that.
Yeah.
So he was sleepy, but he did lots of the lovely crawling, little feet, the little commando, the head bob, the massage, the licking, all these beautiful movements. And then we just needed that LC, the lactation consultant. She came in and she was really great because he's a finger sucker.
Yeah.
Which is different to a thumb sucker. They're quite different.
He'll do all three.
Yeah. He'll just get all the fingers in there.
Yeah.
And so your nipple wasn't a finger, so he was sort of on the nipple falling off a little bit, remember?
Yeah. She mentioned something about an Italian wives.
She was going to do a massage to desensitize his mouth, but in the end she didn't need to. It was just like helping him latch on to get that first latch. To note it, feel it's quite a different suck to sucking on one's fingers, and then once he had it to get, you got help each time. I think for the next couple of days, which I think was really, really good to have that access to the midwives in there to be there with each feed, making sure he was on properly.
And that was a huge help. Like I think for me, the latch, just getting the latch right was the was what I was sort of. It was different every time and I wasn't sure if I was getting it right, but the midwives at the hospital, having them there like every time, was just so helpful.
And even when we thought we had the hang of it, we thought, oh, why not? They're there. Let's just get them to come in. And
so
every person would have a little tip that, you know, worked. And, you know, just building up, once again, same as what we discussed. Building up that knowledge base. Oh, let's try, whether it be the hamburger technique or the football hold or the, all these different ones, and every midwife had her own little trick.
And actually having you there after the baby was born was amazing because you really helped us to know what to do. I was sort of reflecting on if you hadn't been there after the birth, like everyone really leaves the room.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of, I think I would have been a bit unsure about what to do with him and feeding and, is he okay? Like seeing this, the baby's just gone through that full birth. It's so intense. They've just come into the world.
Yeah.
They are overwhelmed for sure. And I think being guided by you with the feeding and making sure that we had some water and some food.
Yeah, that's right.
Looking after us.
You made us the Vegemite on toast.
Vegemite toast.
Gotta have veggie toast.
Yeah. Yeah, like you've got to eat before you get up and have your shower and stuff like that, because so many women will faint or just not be great, and they need to have their energy replenished before you start giving as well, which is now the cycle.
We would never have known to do that, and it would, and you really helped us with him, trying to do the first feed and everything like that. So
and
that was really precious time. And all the luggage. I did overpack somewhat for the hospital.
The martyr concierge.
Maybe that's why it took Ned so long to back the car.
That's so classic.
Little tip is make sure you go and steal a laundry cart from the back of house and use that to move.
Everyone was horrified.
We came prepared, okay?
You had lots of stuff. It was good. It was great. It was so good.
No, but I think it was probably, he was born just before 10. I think we were probably all, the three of us, your mum went home probably about midnight or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I think Nadine was with us still sort of 2 or 3 in the morning.
Most doulas would do 2 90-minute sessions before you give birth.
Yeah.
And they would stay for the feed and then that would, I stay longer. Yeah. We did.
No, that was really nice because that just gave us a bit of time and also relive what we'd just been through. There was a lot of
You are, and that's the important thing. I think I mentioned to you, most people will go over their birth story numbers of times with different people, and it will crop up in all sorts of places, and you'll express it in different ways according to who you're talking to. But it is a really, really important part of your life. It's as big as your wedding day, if not bigger.
Yeah, we did actually ask ourselves that question, didn't we?
It's like totally. I know. It's like, oh, is it? Is it? Yeah.
I wasn't
like,
sure if that was
done. Imprinting.
Yeah.
I was like, oops, is that the wrong answer? Am I meant to say bigger? Or?
Definitely bigger, babe. Yeah.
It is. It's a bigger moment, right? And so it's a really important story to keep telling, and it's a big gift to share it with other people, so that people know it's possible to create a beautiful birth, to have a positive experience that you can't have. Too many people in the room if that's who you feel safe and comfy with. You can't overdo that.
Yeah.
And
if we had another one, we would have taken it. It would have been.
Everyone was so busy.
And I think that does happen. Like in the lead, I was definitely aware that a lot of people, especially if they've maybe had a bad experience or something, people do, you know, you could be at dinners and people will just go, oh, you're pregnant, let me tell you what happened to me. And maybe that's a part of them dealing with the experience that they had or whatever, but in the end, you're sort of like, oh, I just don't. And that's considering, you know, we had a plan and we were lucky enough that it went to plan. We were lucky enough that you moved quick enough to get through it without sort of, you know, we didn't have to go down a path we didn't, we were prepared for, but we didn't want to go down. I think it's important, and, you know, that's why we wanted to be here today to tell that story as well, because not all the time do they get out.
No, they don't. Exactly right. The culture is leaning into the negativity, and media, of course, leans into that because that's what sells faster. But that's also getting encoded into our brains, into our psyches all the time. So we need positive stories to help people to understand that it's possible, believe in it, but to know that you can craft a team, you can get educated, and you don't have to have a perfect birth. You can still have an epidural or a cesarean and make it beautiful. Yeah. It's really critical. It's a birthday. It's a celebration.
Yeah.
And you want to come out of this feeling good.
And now for a quick break. She Births is where science and nature come together. As the only scientifically verified birth education course in the world, we can help you understand nature's intelligent design for birth while learning the most evidence-based birthing skills. We know that by getting to know yourself and by educating your team well now, you will be able to manage more of the challenges ahead with ease and grace. From our free pregnancy guide to our world-class birth education to our post-birth Soul Mama Circles, you can be supported to find the mother within you. Our doula service is bespoke and provides only the best in class trained birth support to She Births families. Over 60% of our mums choose a doula in the birthing room, and we know that they will have the best care, best pain relief, and evidence-based support for their empowerment. Go to shebirths.com/doula, D-O-U-L-A, and book a free 15-minute consultation today to discuss your needs.
So how do you guys feel after the birth experience now, about yourselves, about your relationship?
Oh, amazing. It's like, makes you feel so much closer. I mean, I didn't know that we could feel closer, but I think having gone through that, it's just brought us even more closer together, and with Bo and everything.
I clumsily said that to Deborah the other day. I was like, I love you 30% more. And then she said, like,
whoa.
She was like, firstly, were we at 70% before? And no, I said, oh, no, we're already at 100, but I didn't realise that our life and, you know, the love for each other could be enriched so much more through. Yeah. I always knew it would be an amazing process, but until you've done it, you just...
Yeah, it's so amazing. Brings you together so much. And I think we were really lucky that with our experience that it went how we had wanted it to, but I think we were prepared for whatever might come, and that's like why the team was so important for me too.
Yeah.
And something in the course was that if you aim for the stars or aim
for the moon,
Then you land amongst the stars. Is that what is that the
shoot for the moon? You land amongst the stars.
And that definitely was something that I was sort of. I think going into the birth experience, I was sort of prepared for the worst, hope for the best. But then having learnt that mentality for aiming for the moon in the class, I was like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
We can aim for this experience that we want. Whether it happens, we don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that really changed my mentality towards the birth as well.
Yeah. I think that's a really important distinction. Yeah, people are like, aim low, go slow,
yes.
Or they're stuck in, oh, well, it's just a day in your life, or just a really shitty day in your life, just suck it up, you know. I think people don't bring their partners or their team in as well. They don't believe that they're worth it. They're so used to just being strong, independent, that there's no value in actually getting support, or they don't deserve support. I think there's a lot of barriers for people to creating a beautiful birth, that they can just
yes.
make choices differently slightly. And it is coming a lot from mindset as well, like what you say.
I think now I sort of have a really positive, I look at the birth really positively, and I do, and the support and education that we did definitely played a huge role in that, for sure.
Yeah.
We were sort of talking to my sister, and we're like, that is the way, you have to have a team. You know, for her case, it'll be her mum and, you know, maybe Nadine as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, just having that, and, you know, that could be anyone. That could be your cousin,
yes.
you know, you were
best
saying.
Friend,
bring them to SheBirth, so, yeah. like, bring them to the course so they know what they can do, and, you know, where the hip
yes.
squeeze is, and you know all those things.
Then you can reciprocate it in years to come.
But that's it, because mum came to the course, Ned came to the course,
yeah.
and at the time I was like, oh, am I kind of putting them through, it's a lot of time, like it's
yeah.
a real investment of time, and I knew that I wanted to do that, but I was thinking, oh, am I imposing this on them a bit too much? But in hindsight, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Mm. It was so valuable for them.
And you look back retrospectively and you're like, oh, best time we ever spent,
yeah.
because as you said, it gave you all those tools, all
yeah.
that information, because otherwise I think there's, and I think I probably was a little bit of this, is, you know, you sort of, you know you're pregnant, you know it's coming, but you still feel as though maybe as a partner, it's coming, but it's a little bit, it's off in the distance. And, you know, very quickly it can be upon you, and then even quicker you can be in the car driving to the hospital. So,
yeah.
you know, I think to actually get on board day one, or day, you know, whatever it is,
as soon as you can,
get prepared, put your, you know, do the courses, do your team, have your little stuff set up at home for, you know, when you
yes.
do come home after the
yes.
the sooner you get that, that gives you all the sort of comfort that you're going to be
yeah.
in the best place you can be to have the best birth you can.
Yeah.
Exactly. So well said.
It was.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to share, like to couples who are pregnant or people who are thinking about having their baby?
It's the best thing ever.
That's right. And you get one of those.
It's the best thing ever. It really is. It's just so special. He's 2.5 weeks old, and we're just like
in the baby
in the
bubble.
Full bubble. It's so special. It's
yeah.
amazing.
And you are. Let's talk about the baby bubble now. So, you guys, what are you doing in this fourth trimester? What's your sort of agenda for the next 6 to 12 weeks?
So we are really. I mean, it's not doing nothing, but we are just spending time at home and looking after Bo
yeah.
and adjusting to new life and recovering from the birth. And I think that's something that's pretty new for us, this sort of complete
yeah.
switch off. We, you know, we both have our own businesses. We normally run 1,000,000 miles an hour. This is a totally new pace for us, but it's been so special as well.
Yeah.
It feels really different, but amazing.
Yeah.
And it's important. Can you feel that it's important? Mm. Like keeping life really simple. Like you guys are physically, you've done so well because you had such a great birth and there was no tearing and everything like that, and your belly's going down. But, you know, you're keeping it simple with simple walks, popping
yeah.
out for dinner. It's still around Bo and how he's going and your energy levels that are the priority.
Yes.
I think when people start yeah. making other things a priority, that's really the rules, I think, in this golden month time.
Oh, like even yesterday, you know, we inevitably all your family want to come over and your
yes.
friends and
yeah.
everything. And yesterday we just sort of, well, we reached a point where we go, do you know what we'd love to do? We would love to just... Bo's going
to
go down for his nap.
We'd
both love to have a nap. So in the end, we sort of, you know, we did have some family coming over, and we just said, can we please have a little nap and we'll see
yeah.
you all tomorrow. And we had a 2 or 3 hour nap, and that
Beautiful.
Sort of brought us back to life.
You back.
And, you know,
yeah.
And we keep going. But every now and then you just got to put up a little flag and say,
But we've been lucky during this time as well that we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, we can be at home and we don't have to race back to work just yet and all of that. That's been very special. I think it sort of allows us, you know, we're all in that sort of zone as a family. I think it's great. And for Ned's so amazing and so supportive, having him here makes things so much easier for me too. I think it's been a much easier transition home from hospital, and we've had the help of a night nurse as well who has given me a lot of breastfeeding tips and really helped me with his sleep patterns and everything like that too, which has definitely made me feel much more confident being at home, coming home from hospital, because my milk hadn't come in when I actually got home, and the latch was totally different from one day to the next, and I sort of, I think, it was a bit of a unknown coming home from the hospital, so that was a huge help for me to get the breastfeeding on track.
Yeah, that's right.
And so are you both waking up in the night, or how are you doing it? Are you, is he in your room? What's the sort of, what have you got going on?
So he's in our room, and it's sort of a team effort. Like last night, I woke up to feed him for the first feed, and then I did the settle and nappy, and then he woke up quite quickly between that feed and the next, and I was felt really tired. So Ned was amazing. He got up with me and sat with me when I was feeding, and then Ned did the nappy and settle with Bo and put him back down so I could then go back to sleep after I fed him. So, I mean, it's just a total teamwork at the moment with Ned. He's been so helpful.
Next time you need boobs.
Yeah.
Also handy when he wakes up just in time for the golf to be played on Fox Sports as well, because then I can multitask.
There's been a lot of father-son golf time.
That's so cute.
No, so definitely it's full team effort.
Nice.
I love it. That's so good. I love it. Oh, well, we will check in with you later at another time, I'm sure, about, you know, next baby or, you know, how he's going, because there's going to be, you know, different times ahead. Change is continuous in the parenting journey. And they're growing. Like you say, you look at his face one day and it's like different from yesterday. So, you know, we'll keep checking in to see how you go.
But we loved having you as part of our birth. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
really, you were incredible.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's so nice. Thank you. Daddy Doula.
Yes.
Daddy Doula.
Daddy Doula. And you, the star of the show, Bo.
Oh my goodness. Look at that hair getting blonde.
I know, it's getting lighter and lighter.
Mummy's colour.
Mummy's colour.
It is.
I'm Nadine Richardson, and you've been listening to the She Births Show. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. We'd love to know what you would like to hear more of. You can find me and my team of amazing doulas and educators at shebirths.com and our awesome community on Instagram and Facebook. Within any good app store, you can download our free pregnancy guide via She Births, two separate words and plural, as well as access a range of online courses. Remember, when it comes to having a better birth, an easier transition into parenthood, your education is your empowerment. Don't forget to check out the catalogue of previous podcasts. And thank you for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the show.